Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of TGB Radio. As always, I'm your host, Vin, and let's get this Week 11 show underway. Hard to believe that it's Week 11 already. Only quarter of the season left remaining. Kind of sucks. Kind of a good thing, maybe, depending on how your teams are doing. My team isn't doing terrible. Certainly isn't doing great. But the fact that we have 4 wins right now is nice. That's the same amount we had last season. So that's solid. It's a good thing. And hopefully we'll keep winning. That would also be a good thing, a very good thing. Because winning is good. Feels good. Very good. All right. Enough of that random tangent nonsense. All right, we're going to put Razor on and start going through some of these games. Right.
Right, there. Meow.
Right there. Hello, sir.
Hello. Are you super excited for this week's action?
More so than I was for last week's action, but we also haven't started going through the games, and I didn't realize how bad last week was really until I started going through the games. So hopefully this week will be a little bit better. Maybe.
All right.
Or it could be terrible. All right. We have another participant in this fun little happy party. I think this is this should be Butta, I think. Could be Butta, could be I don't know who it is. Hello, sir.
How you doing, guys?
All right. We're doing well. Well, I'm doing well. Right. I can't speak for Ben.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing well. Doing well.
I got
How you
a bone
doing?
To pick with you, Razor. I got a bone to pick with Razor.
Oh.
I heard you were talking crap about my Bears last week.
And they won.
And it just so happens there's a certain Denver team coming to town.
Yeah, so how's 5-5 looking for you?
All right, we'll get to the luckily the Bears Broncos game is at the top of the slate here in just a couple games, so we should get started. First game, the Indianapolis Colts take on the Atlanta Falcons. The luckless Colts, in perhaps multiple senses of the word, Andrew Luck is out. Matt Hasselbeck is starting, and as much as Atlanta isn't very good and, certainly wasn't as good as their, undefeated record indicated weeks ago, which is weird. That's weeks ago. Man, the season's kind of flying by. But as much as Atlanta possibly isn't that good of a team, Indianapolis isn't either. And at some point, the wheels on this Colts team under Matt Hasselbeck has got to fall off. At some point, you can't keep winning with like a 40-year-old backup quarterback. You can't. I cannot allow it to keep happening. So I've got to take the Falcons here and hope that they can drive a stake into the heart of the Indianapolis Colts team.
Yeah, I feel inclined to agree. It's just because Matt Hasselbeck only has so much left in the tank. I mean, he's not as bad as Peyton Manning will be, but
right.
I mean, he's not going to be a game changer when the game gets close in the fourth quarter. So I have to imagine the Colts aren't gonna pull this one off. It's gonna be close, but it's gonna be a Falcons win.
Yeah, I guess I'll third that. It's just two teams don't really – well, I don't know much about Falcons defense, but I know the Colts defense isn't that good. And the Falcons, you know, they don't have an impact defense, I think. So I think there's potential for points to be put up, like you said, for it to be close. But you're at home in the dome. I think the Falcons should, with their starting quarterback, win this game, no question. But it should be close.
Yeah, I think it's got the potential to be an interesting game. I can't see Matt Hasselbeck keep winning. I mean, it's just you wouldn't expect. I mean, you expect him to be serviceable, manage some stuff, but to actually get wins out of him consistently, it's weird, and I don't like it. So therefore, it shouldn't happen. Should not happen. All right, move on from that, and move on to happier games. Not really this one. This one isn't happier. St. Louis Rams traveling to Baltimore to take on the terrible Baltimore Ravens. St. Louis makes the quarterback change, changing from Nick Foles to Case Keenum. Fascinating change. Luckily, Baltimore's not any good at all. None. Not a bit. So even given that, I'm going to take the St. Louis Girlies to beat the Baltimore Ravens. Because Baltimore Ravens are terrible, and that's all the Rams need is Todd Gurley, and they can win.
Yeah, if you want to put a young quarterback in, get his first start of the season, you're going to either want to put him against Baltimore's defense or Tampa Bay's defense or New Orleans. So, you know, pretty lucky start for the Rams here. I think, the Rams will just win this pretty solidly. It'll be like, you know, a 10-point game. Not 10-score game. Well, it might be a 10-score game. It could be a 10-score game.
That's a handy win, yeah. Could be.
Yeah, I agree. Baltimore is just – it was always funny to me that they lasted that long with just Torrey Smith as the main guy. I was always wondering when they were going to get another receiver. And then he leaves, and then you get Steve Smith, who kind of has a little juice at the end of these – career, but then he's hurt. Now you really see like the offense has no weapons to go to, and so it's finally caught up with them, and the defense isn't holding anybody. So the Rams offense, I don't know what they'll do. I think they'll just ground and pound, and kind of like Razor's, they'll probably just be like a 10-0 game or a 14-0 game, something like that. But the Ravens to me is the most shocking of all teams that sucked this year. Because they're just one of those perennial, like, you know, decent teams. And I don't know what's going on over there, but I think the Rams get out of Baltimore with this.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that the Ravens being disappointing, because I think prior to the season starting, Sarge brought up in the shout box one evening, quick, who's going to win the Super Bowl? And then I think I want to say my pick was like Ravens Packers or something like that. And I don't think that's going to happen. Don't think my prediction is going to come true. So shows how good I am at picking Super Bowls. All right. Let's see here. Got a caller. No idea who this is. Could be Mr. Fart Waffles. Could be some random person. I have no idea who it is. So, put them on, and they should join in on the fun. Hopefully it's not a troll.
Hey, what's up? Yeah, it's Fart.
There we go.
What's up, man?
All right, yeah. How's it going?
Oh, it's going. It's going, man. So what's on the dinner plate today?
Nothing. Just going through the games. Right now, went through Indian Atlanta and Rams and Ravens, and now we are moving on to the Redskins and the Panthers, which Washington somewhat has a chance, right? I mean, Alfred
Ben.
Morris actually.
Ben, do you like this matchup? Do you like it?
Do I like it? Do I? No, I don't like it. I don't like it.
No.
Stop yelling at me. But
Nah. No way. Next. Panthers win next. That's kind of how I see it. You know what? The Redskins might make it interesting, though. I will say their offense has looked halfway decent, I would say, you know, maybe a little better than halfway decent. So at least it'll probably be a better game than I'm making it out to be. I'll just put it that way. The Panthers,
Kirk Cousins has consistently been an average starter this season. So, yes,
he's,
Redskins
oh, yeah,
it.
He's way better than anything the Texans have. I can tell you that much.
I mean, the Redskins just waxed the Saints, though. So, I don't know. I guess I'm interested now. I'm interested.
Yeah, that's the Saints. I think any quarterback could wax the Saints. I mean, the Panthers are much tougher as a defense.
Yeah, true. I mean, but we like, not even last year, this NFC South was, like, the breeding ground of just disgusting football. So it's just funny that we put Carolina up there. And I think they deserve some of that credit, but, like, last year the NFC South was disgusting. And I know it's the AFC South this year, but, you know, I don't know if I'm putting Carolina on the pedestal as far as they're going to blow out the Redskins because, you know, just seeing them put together a game like that against anybody was surprising. So I hope they make it interesting at least.
Yeah, the Panthers haven't really beat up on anyone besides the Titans last week. So it'll be interesting to see if they can you know, win by more than one score. I still think they win, but, you know, it's going to be a typically close game from them. That's just how they close out football games.
Yeah, it's weird. You got to figure that with the way that Carolina plays games, you got to figure one of these times they're going to lose. But I don't know. Everybody kind of harps on Kirk Cousins. If you know, I mean, he has the performance last week, but let's see what he does against this Carolina Panthers defense before we even say anything remotely decent about him. So, I guess at the very least, there's that to look forward to. But other than that, yeah, I'm not really a fan of this. So,
you don't really like
that. Did anyone see that Washington game last week by chance?
Nope.
Because it's just like
I saw bits and pieces of it.
I hate to use fantasy, but like I'm in a 14-team league and no one has Alfred Morris or Matt Jones. So I'm like, are they running
teamer?
The ball?
Yeah,
and I'm like, are they
That's
running
pretty
the
ridiculous.
Ball? So I'm just like, exactly how are they putting up points? I was just wondering.
Alfred Morris has been terrible this season. And I guess really pretty much every Redskin back has been. I mean, Matt Jones will have, you know, a random game here or there where he'll blow up. But on average, I mean, they're both have been pretty terrible in fantasy. So,
yeah,
I mean, I think in most of my leagues, Alfred Morris has been on the waiver wire since early on in the season just because he was doing nothing.
Yeah, he's a guy that – he didn't once Shanahan and company left, that kind of destroyed him, leaving that zone blocking scheme. So I think he should be a free agent after this year, and he should have a one-way ticket to Atlanta, in my opinion. Him and Devontae Freeman would make Dallas too, yeah. Yeah, that wouldn't hurt
That'd
either.
Yeah.
a healthy Freeman-Morris tandem would certainly be interesting.
You could even go to Denver. Oh, please. Actually, I don't really want him.
you guys already have, like, 15 running backs, so you don't really need to.
Yeah, we already have 15 really terrible running backs. What's one more?
I mean, yeah, what's one more? What's one more?
What happened to C.J. Right. Anderson? Wow.
Turf toe.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of Denver, now is the time for the Denver-Chicago game. As everybody knows.
Can you really call this Raiders. A game? Bears are barely.
Well, I mean,
barely
yeah, I mean,
this league.
Yeah, I mean, Denver's going to blow out Chicago because I got faith in Osweiler to do work.
Really?
Osweiler's going to dominate this Bears defense. It's not even going to be.
I got
Rottweiler over here.
I got faith. I mean, you look at all those weapons he's got to throw to. Now, granted, he doesn't have a run game. That's gonna hurt because pretty much every quarterback needs a run game. But that's gonna hurt. But I mean, you know, still got Emmanuel Sanders to throw to. You got Demaryius Thomas. You got Vernon Davis, who might blow up this week. Might not, but could. Never know.
Never know.
Yeah, I like Osweiler's chances. You know, you're still going up against that Denver defense for Chicago. I know Alshon Jeffrey's a little banged up. I have no idea what to expect out of Kendall Langford. I expected nothing out of him last week against the Saints, and he kind of blew up on that. So, I mean, I suppose that's a coin flip. But with that said, I do expect Denver to win this. It won't be a blowout. It will, however, be a close game. Probably give me like 27-24 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, Cutler's actually been having one of his better years so far, especially these last few weeks. It seems like he's really been thriving with Adam Gase as his offensive coordinator. So, I mean, I still like Denver in the game as well, but like you said, I do think it's going to be a pretty close and interesting game because, Cutler has been having almost kind of a renaissance year, if you can call it that. That might be a little bit of an overstatement, but he's been playing a lot better than what we're used to.
There's really nothing to renaissance to is the problem with Jay Cutler. He's never been this good is the problem.
only five picks so far for Mr. Cutler.
Only five. We are halfway through the season and he has only thrown five interceptions.
Only five interceptions. Five interceptions in eight games.
He's thrown five interceptions in one game before, I'm sure. So, yeah, I would say that's a pretty damn good improvement.
Wow. All right. Well, all right. I'm going to give my professional opinion, and then I'll give my biased opinion. All right. I definitely think it'll be a close game despite having Brock first starting or having his first game starting. Our secondary is really bad, and so if there's any weakness he could pick out, it's in the passing game. DeMarcus wears out, but like you said, that defense is pretty stout, and I think one weakness that you could pick out on offense for us is pass protection. Even though we've done a better job, I think Von Miller and those guys could really get in Cutler's face and disrupt his timing. So we're going to have to lean on, you know, the running game and, you know, the quick passes. So I think it could be close. It definitely will come down to, like, special team play here or there, which we always seem to give up every week. So, you know, I can see that happening. Now, as far as a biased opinion, there's some Broncos fan that talked garbage about my pathetic Bears last week that went pathetic all over the Rams, up and down St. Louis, for a nice little win. And it just so happens the Broncos are coming into town this week. We got every reunion possible. John Fox's old team, Gase's old team, Cutler's old team, everybody's old team. And I would love to see Brock Osweiler get raped in Soldier Field and have his career ended right on the Chicago Bears logo and have Razor cry sweet, salty tears all over his keyboard as he's typing, "I'm sorry for underestimating the Bears," in the shout box. I'm done.
It's okay. We've got excellent backup Trevor Siemian right behind Brock Osweiler. We'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. The pride of Northwestern, yes.
Ling and Siemian. Yeah, but should be a fun game. I'm really curious to see what Osweiler can do. We saw a little bit last week against the Chiefs. Obviously not put in the best spot with Peyton playing terrible and him getting yanked and kind of coming in spot duty. But I think you saw a couple nice things from him last week. So it'll be curious to see what he does this week again, because, you know, if there's one good matchup, it is that Chicago defense. So, I mean, the opportunity's there. It's just whether or not he can do anything with it. All right. Let's see here. Next game, Oakland Raiders take on the Detroit Lions. I'm not really going to get too in-depth in this one. I think the Detroit Lions this week put every single corner they had on IR. So if the Oakland Raiders don't win this game, then I don't know. I mean, yeah, I got nothing. If Oakland somehow manages to lose this, they shouldn't. Unless it's like a 52-50, you know. Lost, but it's just like Oakland really has no business losing this.
Oakland's defense is not that good. I mean, if Matt Stafford has one of his good days with the offense coordinator Jim Bob Cooter, anything is possible.
Jim Bob Cooter! Sorry, guys, I just had to get that out. But
how many good days has Matt Stafford had this season? Like one?
How many what?
I said, how many good days has Matt Stafford had this season? Like one good day?
Like one good day?
Probably the first day of training camp, and that was it.
I mean,
just had that one good day against the Bears, and that was it.
Yeah, that was pretty much
it. I wouldn't call that good.
I don't know, it felt pretty good.
I'll take Oakland.
Oakland. Yeah. I think Detroit kind of like won their, even though I hate this term, I'm going to use it anyways. I think they won their Super Bowl last week against the Packers, and it's downhill from there. Yeah. It's all downhill from there for them. That was their highest point this season for sure.
It's pretty good when a team that makes the playoffs last year has their Super Bowl being a win in Green Bay.
Yeah.
That's what Green Bay gets.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, this is like Oakland's third NFC North game in a row, though. And so I would just factoring that in, I think that's an advantage for them. Just seeing all these teams and, you know, the tape they study is probably of all the NFC North games. So you really expect them, I would think, to win because by this time they kind of get the flavor of the NFC North.
The flavor of mediocrity.
It's funny. I completely forgot about the Lions beating Packers last week, which is kind of nice to see since it's the first time in 24 years that it's happened in Lambeau. It's always cool seeing crazy streaks like that in. So glad it finally happened. Certainly didn't expect it to happen, but good for them. Good for them. Got rid of the president, the GM, or whatever, and who knows? Maybe control will turn things around. Maybe not this season. Maybe next season.
Yeah, the last time the Lions won a game in Lambeau, Bush and Clinton were running for office.
Yeah. It's been a while. All right. Moving on to Fart's game now. New York Jets take on the Houston Texans. T.J. Yates is starting at quarterback, and I feel bad for T.J. Yates having to go up against that Jets defense. Mainly just Darrell Revis.
T.J. Yates is the Bengals slayer. I don't know how it fares against every other team in the league, but he is the Bengals slayer.
Just the Bengals. I think he beat the Falcons once, but whatever. But no, it's not going to be pretty, obviously. And the thing is T.J. Yates actually has a little bit of a gunslinger mentality with him. He's kind of he's got a little bit of a Rex Grossman attitude. Oh, we got Kefka in here. But nice. But he's got a little bit of a gunslinger Rex Grossman to him, so I expect him to throw at least like one or two just stupid interceptions where you're just like, what were you thinking? And he's hoping that he can recapture that one touchdown pass he threw to DeAndre last week, but it's not going to happen. It's not. Jets are going to roll. It's going to be very ugly. So,
I mean, let's be honest. DeAndre made that touchdown catch by himself.
Oh,
T.J. Yates kind of just threw it in his direction.
He did. Yeah, TJ just threw it up for grabs, and DeAndre did most of the work. So, yeah. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly, guys. I mean, the only thing that might be good for the Texans is hopefully they can just get some pressure on Fitzpatrick. But, I mean, they're going to need defensive scoring, basically, to even stand a chance in this game, and I don't see it happening. So.
What?
Jets roll.
Didn't J.J. Watt have, like, 9 touchdowns last year? He can do it.
No, something like that, but he's got 0 right now, so.
That's because they haven't lined him up at tight end this year.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't mind them lining up Watt at tight end, even just as a freaking decoy, you know? So, but I don't know. I guess we used up all of those, all of our luck on those plays. Either that or O'Brien's just coaching with his tail in between his legs, and that could also be a true statement.
Tail between his chin?
Yeah, between his butt.
I can't wait to see Revis versus Hopkins.
Jets roll. Yeah, that should actually be a fun matchup. That'll probably be the only fun matchup about this game is Revis versus Hopkins. And even then, even if he gets open, it's going to be interesting to see if the Ace can get him the ball. That's going to be another, I guess that's going to be another fun matchup is the Ace getting the ball to people. All right. Let's see here. Next game, Dallas Cowboys take on Miami Dolphins. Dallas Cowboys finally get Tony Romo back, and I just had a hilarious thought that they finally get him back and they still lose. That'd be hilarious. It would suck for them, but it'd be hilarious to see. I don't think it happens unless he, like, gets sacked and re-breaks his collarbone, which is, I suppose, always possible. But, you got to figure Romo to Dez, Romo to Witten up against that Miami defense should be solid all day. And as I said last week, I've kind of hopped off the Miami train. Even though they won last week, kind of surprised me. I guess take the Cowboys in this one.
As long as Ben stays off the train, I'm taking the Dolphins.
And side note, it's a good thing that I don't keep track of what I pick on the radio show, because I actually took them against the Eagles and took them last week, and I had the opposite pick on the radio show. So, there's your random.
Yeah, that would have been one of those. Surprise upsets, because Pick'em was god awful last week.
Yeah, I think I've gotten 13 correct picks in 3 weeks. Ooh, I think that's about right.
Yeah, that's rough.
I'm terrible.
So basically, I need to go to Vegas and do the opposite of what you say. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah, Vin is cursed.
Yeah.
So just since he's taking the Cowboys this week, take the Dolphins.
Yeah, I was earlier on in the season I was like 7 games out of first and feeling good. Now I'm like 10 games out of last. So yeah.
Okay, you'll never get last because JD is just so bad this year.
Luckily there's people. I won't disparage him too much, but luckily there's people below me that have a fairly sizable cushion, so I won't get last. But getting almost last is just as bad.
Yeah, JD's being almost like intentionally bad, and even then it's hard to be that bad as it is to be good in a pick'em. So it's almost like props to him that he's doing this terribly.
Alright, we'll move on for Pick'em. So yeah, Cowboys or Dolphins, what are we doing here?
I'll take the Cowboys, but I'm not very confident in it.
I'll take the Dolphins, and I'm very confident in it because Vin is picking the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah,
I'm going to win one of these weeks. No, I won't.
I'll take the Dolphins. I think they're in the upswing. This is probably one of the more interesting games, though, to see how much Romo does bring back to this Dallas team.
I can just see it now. Romo goes back on like the first drop back that they get, and he gets sacked and refractures his collarbone or something the very first play. And Cowboys
and then
fans worldwide.
Steps on him.
All right, we'll move on from that because, yeah, I don't want to dwell on that too much. All right, next game, a game that I will actually be watching and I hope will be a solid, entertaining matchup. Tampa Bay Buccaneers traveling to Philly to take on the Eagles.
Oof.
This could be interesting. This could be interesting. You got Jameis and Mike Evans going up against that Philly defense. The pass rush is there. The secondary isn't all that much. So it could be an interesting game. And just for the hell of it, I'm going to take the Tampa Bay Jameises to get the win.
Is Mark Sanchez playing? I don't even know. Is he, like, starting for the Eagles this week? He is?
Yes, and I completely forgot about that. Yes, he is.
So they're going to do better than they have been all season at quarterback is the thing.
Man, I don't know. I think I gotta go Bucks too, just for the Sanchez effect.
That's probably a fair point.
Sanchez.
I like the Bucks here too. Actually, I think they're finally starting to get it together with their rookie quarterback, who actually hasn't been terrible this year.
Well, I guess I'll be odd man out. I like Philly. I don't see it. Maybe because I don't watch the Bucks, but there's no way I think Jameis pulls this out on the road. And, I mean, the Eagles aren't great, but they're, like, they're decent. And I think Mark is going to give them a dirty Sanchez all over the Bucks. So.
Tampa's problem is they have no defense, unless they play the Falcons or unless they play the Saints.
Yeah,
so,
it's kind of funny how that works. But the
Eagles
have no offense.
Essentially that. And the Eagles have no offense. So, I mean, there's that. But it's kind of funny. Everybody was harping on Jameis, saying bust after 2 weeks into the season. Now everything's kind of leveled out. And, oh, maybe he's not actually so bad. Funny how
Is he doing good or something?
He's doing, like, 20th, 21st kind of thing. So, I mean slightly below average, which for a rookie tends to be, like, incredibly good.
I thought he was still the biggest bust of the year, according to the Bucks fan.
I feel like Jameis is having a decent year. I mean, maybe not to the expectations he might have had at the very beginning of the year, but, I mean, all things considered for a rookie, he could be doing a lot worse.
Yeah, I mean, he's helping the team win games that they probably should not be winning. That's all you really want from your rookie quarterback in his first year.
Yep, pretty much. All right, let's see. All right, so that's it for the 1 o'clock games. Moving on to the 4 o'clock games. First matchup, AFC West matchup, Kansas City Chiefs traveling to San Diego to take on the LA Chargers. Let's see here. AFC West Jeez. Matchup, two, Jeez.
I keep trying to tell myself that the Chargers are going to be good. I keep wanting to tell myself, like, oh, Phillip Rivers, this passing offense is great, and I've taken them to pick them so many times, and they just let me down every single time. So I'm done. I'm done thinking that the Chargers are going to win games that they should. They're just losing, so I'm taking the Chiefs.
Just give up on San Diego. Baltimore
and San Diego are just two teams I've totally given up hope on.
Baltimore, I kind of see. Chargers, they got, Verrett and Flowers. Flowers kind of sucks, but Verrett's good. And then Ingram, he's finally healthy. He's getting a great pass rush. You got Rivers, who's like, I don't know if he's still leading the league in yards, but he was. He's got weapons. They got Melvin Gordon, first-round running back. I guess the only thing they're missing is the O-line. They got, like, three or four guys injured, so that might be the big problem. But other than that, I just don't. it didn't make sense to me, like, why they're doing as bad as they are with as many weapons as they have. But I guess the O-line, you kind of need that to win games. Ain't that right, Razor?
It's just gross.
Well, Charkandrick West, which I need to say that one more time, Charkandrick, because that's my favorite name this year in the NFL. He is going to, I think he's just going to go nuts. He's going to go nuts, and they're gonna win on him running the ball, for sure.
And Alex Smith, though, legitimate elite quarterback Alex Smith, is going to dominate.
Yeah, throwing those five-yard passes.
Throwing those five-yard.
Dominate completion percentage.
18-21 for $150.
That sounds about right.
Bread and butter.
All right, let's see if we can knock out these rest of the games in the last couple minutes. Green Bay taking on Minnesota. I would love to, like, deeply analyze this game and really get into it, but Beware is not going to win. Green Bay is not going to lose four in a row. I mean, they're not. They're just – no. I'm taking the Packers.
The Packers could lose four in a row. That's possible. Yeah.
No, they're not.
They certainly could. I mean, I'm taking Green Bay on the bounce back, but this is actually going to be a pretty tough matchup. That the Mike Zimmer defense, I believe Rodgers actually is, like, he's shown – there was, like, some stat about him going up against Mike Zimmer's defenses, and it was not very pretty for Rodgers. As a matter of fact, it was, like, probably the defensive coordinator he struggled with the most. I don't think he ever had, like, a 300-yard passing game against Mike Zimmer, so – And this defense actually is doing very well in Minnesota, very underrated. And I'm not trying to be Beware here. I'm not going to overrate them like he does, but they are playing very well. So I expect it to be a close game, but I'm taking Green Bay on the bounce back because it's like we're saying, can they really lose four? That's just crazy to me. So I'm taking Green Bay.
And I'm rooting for a tie.
Tez. Now you want Green Bay to lose because mathematically that means you have less teams to hop over into the wild card race.
I mean, if they lose and everybody on the Minnesota gets hurt, yeah, you're right. But I want nothing good to come from matchup.
All right, let's see here. Rapid fire, I guess. Well, not sort of. San Francisco 49ers traveling to Seattle, taking on Seahawks. The Blaine Gabbert era has officially begun with Kaepernick being put on IR, which is absolutely amazing. Sucks for Blaine because this week he gets the Seahawks. Next week he gets the Cardinals. Yeah, it's terrible. Seattle wins.
Ride the Blaine train to victory.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Take the Seahawks.
The train never stops, man. I'm on the Blaine Gabbert train. 49ers win in the upset. Mark it down. Except I'm not taking them in the pick'em, but I'm taking them on the radio. Mark it down.
mark it down, just not anywhere important.
Right, exactly.
All right, let's see here. Bengals against the Cardinals. Bengals did stumble against the Texans, but that's all right. They'll be back. Even against this formidable Cardinals team. I'm going to take Bengals.
Primetime game, Cardinals.
Cardinals,
Cardinals.
All right, I'm alone in that. And the Bills traveling to New England to take on the Patriots, who had a little bit of trouble with the Giants last week. Buffalo's not doing anything near the Patriots.
Patriots are going 16-0 this year, Patriots.
Yeah, they're going 18-1 this year.
Right,
Patriots.
18-1.
Go NFC.
Yeah.
Patriots.
All right. There we go. Made it through all the games.
Did it.
And it's fixing. This thing's fixing coming off here. So, gentlemen, thank you for calling in. And we should do this again next week.
Jay Cutler's going to match his interception total today, tomorrow. Snap.